Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Today's sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur is DesignCrowd, a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com/hack. That's designcrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a Facebook marketing strategist, a brilliant speaker, and an entrepreneur. He's the founder of the Accelerator Alliance and the creator of the Rapid Scaling Matrix. Under his personal brand, he runs a fully managed Facebook advertising agency with an absolutely insane waiting list to even become one of his clients. I saw my guest speak at a conference a couple months ago, and his stories, passion, and expertise had me absolutely mesmerized. Now, let's hack Nicholas Kuzmich. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Braintree. If you think back, you can remember the first dollar you made. Now you want to grow to make your billionth. But have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one integration. And it doesn't matter what currency your customers use, because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how your company can grow with Braintree, visit braintreepayments.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Nicholas, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Pleasure's all mine, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
I agree.
Nice. So let's jump straight into it.
Sure.
Nicholas, you are a man that wears many hats, but today we're talking to Nicholas, the entrepreneur.
Okay.
So could you tell me, Nicholas, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a great question. I think there's the micro and the macro, like the meta and the high level. I think the thing that had the biggest turning point for me, and it's probably a little bit different than what a lot of people do, is our best year was the year that I went on a complete information fast. It was, I just said, I'm not going to any more events. I'm not going to listen to any podcasts. I'm not going to read any books. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to take what I've gained for so long over all the years and do some massive implementation and not get distracted by all this other stuff. And that ended up being our most profitable and our highest growth year yet. And I think what that led to, and to where we are at this point, I think I'm pretty good at, is just getting focused as a result. So because of that, I mean, I'm not on a complete information fast anymore, but I am on a very restricted information diet. And it just allows me to get really, really focused, understand what's at hand, what we got to do, and not chase shiny objects and not get distracted in so many different ways. So that is one thing. And I think the other thing, as a result that came out of some ill experiences in the past as well, is I'm really good at not setting goals. Goals, I find for me personally, have been something that created negative energy. My focus was never on, you know, where I'm going, but always the gap in between where I am and where I was going. And that negative energy led to a whole bunch of frustrations and no accomplishment and anything like that. Or the vice versa happened, where we set some goals and we hit them really quickly. And then we're like, well, what's next? So we've really shifted our mindset in our business to say, we don't forecast where we're going to be in the next few months. I mean, I'm literally going in 24-hour little time cycles here, entertaining the opportunities that presented themselves, don't get distracted with them, and then just kind of keep moving forward, being open to any possible pivot that may come our way.
Nice. I love this. This is the first I've heard of this. And so this seems to, is it making you happier personally, and is it making you more successful in the business space?
That's such a fantastic way to put it. And the answer is yes to both. The fact that I think what leads to unhappiness in most people's lives, but I can't speak to most people, so I'll just speak to myself, what led to a lot of the unhappiness is the realization that where I am is not where I want to be. And that that's what goals perpetuated for me. It was this lofty idea of, oh, I should be here. I'm looking at that, or that's where we need to get to. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have intentions and move in a certain direction. I think growth is obviously very important, but I don't think growth happens through goals. It happens through just knowing the journey that you're walking on and being open to make a right turn if you need to. So as a result of that, just being present and not necessarily in the Eckhart Tolle live in the now kind of metaphysical way, although I think that's great. But I just mean, like, you know, I'm having this conversation. I'm not thinking about what I'm having for lunch. I'm just thinking about our conversation right now, trusting that the right things will come out at the right time. And then when this is done, moving on to the next thing. I mean, I'm involved in, when I'm going out to lunch with somebody, my phone is turned off and face down, and I'm not picking up that phone when I'm having that conversation. When I'm having a conversation with someone in person, you know, I'm looking them in the eyes and just, I mean, it's making this intentional effort to realize what I have now. And that creates positive, you know, vibes or energy or whatever you want to call it in me, which also just obviously leads to the happiness. And I think the happiness and the confidence in that just further leads to greater business success, because I'm not always looking. I mean, at the end of the day, what this has allowed me to do is, and I know this sounds cliche and I got to figure out a better way to say it, but what it's allowed me to do is have a business that's based on service and my interests and what I want to do, and not living up to all these other expectations where the main driver is profit. And oddly enough, when I've done that, at least for me, it's led to greater business success simultaneously. So it's just this kind of wonderful little cycle that we're in.
Yeah. So this idea of a business based on service, did this happen through struggle of making it based on maybe money or value? And do you know what I mean? But that wasn't working for you. And then this sort of, or was this a conscious, like, no, screw it, this isn't providing anything for me personally?
Yeah, no, I think it came from, I mean, when we seek profit, and that was in the early days, it led to profit, but it also led to a lot of unhappiness and like broken relationships. And for me, at some point, people were a means to an end. They were, I have a goal that I'm trying to accomplish. This is my, you know, my end goal. And either you're in my way and I'm going to run you over, or you're going to help me get there and I'm going to use you for as much as I can until you're no longer valuable to me. And that was my mindset going into this long, long time ago, because I would believe the narrative that it's a dog eat dog world. The people who come out on the top are the most ruthless and the ones who are like laser focused and all that. So from a profit standpoint, I mean, yeah, it kind of worked, I guess, but it also led to all this kind of unhappiness and just like, what am I doing? And now, and I don't know exactly how it happened other than being jaded maybe from having been hurt by some partners and some people in the past, but now the people aren't the means to the end. The people are the end, and is the reason I do what I do. And it's, you know, fortunately, you know, it's also led to greater business. I'm not discounting growth, and I'm not discounting scalability, and I'm not discounting profit, but it's just been an easier path going about it this way than the other way.
Nice. I love it. I love it. So let's go back, if we can, sort of to the beginning of this, because I know, Nicholas, like going through like life and business, we don't always make the connection going through, but looking back,
yeah,
it seems clear that there's this time in every entrepreneur's life when they've realized that they either had this calling to make this huge difference in the world,
sure,
or they found, as mostly is the case, that they simply could not work for somebody else anymore. Right. I'd love to know which side of the fence you see yourself on, and then can you take us back to when you discovered this?
Yeah, so, you know, I wish I could say that I have entrepreneurial DNA and that I popped out of my mom with the hands in the air thinking like I'm going to have a successful business. And it was just, I had the lemonade stand and the paper route when I was a kid. I didn't. I was a confused kid. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I mean, early on in my life, I knew I wanted to make a difference in the world. My narrative at the time told me that that would be through a faith practice. And so I actually went to Bible school out of college and out of high school, you know, got my biblical studies degree and actually started a church.
Wow.
But very quickly did I realize that the church wasn't paying the bills. And simultaneously, when I was 17 years old, my father had a pretty bad stroke amongst many that left him unable to work. And so him and my mom had a convenience store, this little tiny small business that was, you know, enough to pay the bills, but just barely. But he had to stop working. And so he stopped working. My mother now, who's, well, I guess at that time in her late 40s, is trying to look for a job. And it's a sad, sad thing when you have an immigrant mother who goes out to a job interview and comes home crying saying I didn't get the job because I can't speak English well. So at 17, I was forced to be the, as an only child, to be the primary breadwinner for my family. So entrepreneurship, if you will, was thrust upon me because I realized the regular 9-to-5 wasn't going to cut it. And simultaneously, as you alluded to, I just don't like being told what to do. I have a very difficult time with that. Like, this is when you have to wake up and this is what you have to eat. And this is when you, like, I just, that doesn't work with me at all. So I think it was a combination of the both of being forced into it by means of the circumstance, simultaneously realizing that I probably, you know, I'm not very good at authority and holding down the fort that way. So, I mean, I make the little joke sometimes, everyone paints entrepreneurship as this easy, beautiful picture. I don't wish entrepreneurship upon anybody. It's provided a fantastic lifestyle for me, and I think it's great, and I've come to love it. For the person who does is not cut from that cloth and is not, you know, in a space where that's a reality, I think it's not the easiest lifestyle either. So, I mean, sorry, that was a really long-winded to say. I mean, I wanted to make a difference in the world. I thought at that time my faith practice was the way, and then very early did I learn that simultaneously I couldn't hold down a traditional 9-to-5, and you mash those both together, and it led to years of struggle of trying to figure it out, and then, you know, just more recently finding my stride and seeing what makes me happy and what we can do to contribute to the world in the way that we do it right now.
Yeah, I mean, even Nicholas, like starting your own church, it's pretty entrepreneurial.
Good point. Yeah, okay.
It's the creation of something out of nothing. I mean,
sure.
Right? And then, so do you think that the reason why when it was thrust upon you, it could have been thrust upon you to go get a job, right?
Sure.
And that's how lots of people do. But I mean, you grew up in an entrepreneurial household, right? Like your dad ran a convenience store. Mm. So do you think that leaned you into like, no, this is how it's done?
You know, yeah, I never actually thought about that until you're bringing that up. I mean, I always thought, maybe I'm making a distinction here of if anything, I was afraid then of entrepreneurship because I saw the amount of hours that my parents put into their business and the result that came of it. And then simultaneously, you know, being a susceptible 17-year-old trying to find my way and then saying, getting emails that say, hey, you want to make $1 million in a week? And I'm like, yeah, responding to the emails and joining multi-level marketing companies and stuffing envelopes and doing everything I could possibly, you know, do under the sun. The narrative that was told to me was money was difficult to make through this entrepreneurial type venture. And so that was something that I definitely had to overcome. But what you're saying, I think it makes a ton of sense. Seeing dad and mom, you know, having their own business. And then again, I didn't even realize it, you know, doing the church thing, that I guess is all entrepreneurial. So maybe it was in the DNA. I was just kind of masking it for so long. And then maybe coming into that stride is what allowed us to do what we do now.
Nice. I like it. See, it doesn't always make sense going through it. Just
that's
looking
true.
Back.
Very though. True. Yeah.
Nice. So at the beginning, you said that this idea of like going on a complete information fast and then getting incredibly focused, that was your one thing. Now, every business expert talks about the 80-20 rule, right? Do 20%, get 80% of the results, do what you're good at, delegate the rest.
Sure.
Nicholas, can you please tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
Yeah, delegating the rest. I mean, I think, and that's true in the sense where like when, you know, we get into this thing or I got into this thing as like, you know, chasing some lofty dreams and fortunately a real business came out of it. But, you know, as a traditional solopreneur, if you will, you know, the idea that I had to wear all the hats and I had to do everything and there's still a part of me that kind of tells me I need to do it. Now we've been a little bit better now and, you know, we have help, of course. But again, I maybe it's a control issue. Maybe it's because I've been let down a lot of times in the past. Maybe that I have a story in my head telling me that I need to do it all in order to make it work the way I want to. Delegation over the last, you know, several years has definitely been something that's a bit of a struggle, and we get better and better at it. But it is something that I'm working through for sure.
Oh, fair enough. I guess it's admitting that you have that problem is the first step to overcoming it.
Yeah, well, it's one of many, but it's definitely there.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so let's move on to projects. Mm. Projects is like a very loose term.
Okay.
But I know that you have a course, you have a couple other products. I think you deal with like A-list clients and you have this private retreat that you do.
Right.
So let's take one of those.
Okay.
But I would love to know what, like the last project that you decided to start.
Sure.
If it was a written process or if it's an internal gut process you have.
Yeah.
But what is the process you go through, Nicholas, to decide when a project is now worth yours and anybody who works with you's time, energy, and resources.
That's a fantastic way to put that. And again, I haven't really given much thought to it from that perspective, but I'm just thinking of the last little thing that we did. You know, so one of the things, my main business, what really pays the bills and what is the driving force of everything that I do is our agency. It's a fully managed, done for you. It's a boutique agency. It's private. We don't take on any clients unless you've been directly referred by a strategic partner and or a current client. We only work with 10 clients at any given time, and we have a wait list that's about 3 to 4 months long right now, which is fantastic. I think it's great. And that was our primary driver for our business. Now, but because we set it up that way, what ended up happening where there's a lot of people who are coming to us and saying, well, we can't be a client or we can't afford to be a client or whatever it be. What if I have teams or what if I just want to do something myself? Is that something that you can help teach us with? And again, because I didn't really have any major business goals or plans for projects, I thought, well, this is something worth considering. So the step that we did was, well, let's like market validate this. Rather than me coming up with a great idea and trying to force it down the market's mouth and say, this is a great idea, I wanted to really get a feel for it. So to put that in perspective, I opened up a Facebook group and I'm like, look, I'm tired of people saying, I want to pick your brain. I'm just going to put up a group here, join the group, and I'm going to jump in every so often and teach people some stuff and answer some questions and build a community that way. Totally unintentional and not knowing if any more than 12 people were going to join. It was probably 6 or 8 months ago. And then very quickly, again, without any paid effort or intentional effort, the thing organically grew now to about 12,000 people. And it's growing at approximately 50 to 100 people a day without me doing anything to it. I really have no idea where they're coming from. Now, to your point, I basically said, hey, I'm going to do a training. I don't know what I'm going to do a training on. I'd rather just serve you in the community here. So I put up a little poll in the group saying, hey, these are some of the thoughts of things I can train on. What would you like? And the overwhelming response for was this one particular topic. And so I basically said, okay, I'm going to do a webinar. I'm going to charge for the webinar because it's got to be worth my time to do. So I put up a little splash page. I said, we're going to teach on this because this is what you told me to teach you. Put up a webinar, charge $697 for the webinar. And honestly, John, I crossed my fingers and I said, I hope 12 people register. So at least it would be worth my time. 122 people later, and sales continue to come in from the recording of that, oddly enough, and we don't even promote it. I thought, geez, I got to create a webinar now. So after people had registered, they'd validated, they'd paid for this thing, I said, okay, it's time to create this thing. And I created it. And then, of course, we leveraged it further now that we have it. So the short answer is, you know, how do we approach a product and or project and decide to allocate time and energy and resource towards it something? I try to let the market dictate the needs. And then based on that, I'll throw out some feelers. And as soon as I get market validation, and to me, market validation is a credit card. I mean, anybody can say, I want to do this, or I think that's a great idea. But until they separate from their hard-earned money, I mean, it could just be all hearsay. So to me, market validation is a credit card transaction. And as soon as we got those and we saw the response of it, you know, that's kind of where I pour some time and energy in creating this little thing. So does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, that does. I love the market validation. So I know that like someone's out there listening and thinking, so you have a Facebook group and you asked them and then you created a paid webinar, but where did you get the 100 and something people to sign up for it?
So that was from...
Was this paid traffic?
No, this was actually from the Facebook group. So I went back into my group and I said, hey, this is the thing you all suggested that I train on. Would you like to actually join me on it? And that's where all the people came. So there was no paid traffic. There was no advert. And now that I have validated this market, you know, we haven't put any effort here. Maybe I should. But now we can actually take it to the mass market and say, you know, run some paid advertising, put a real campaign behind it.
Right. Which seems like a natural extension of what you do.
Right. Right. And then, speaking of it, that's probably something I should get on as soon as we're done the call here.
You need a goal for this or something.
Yeah, I'm probably leaving a lot on the table here. Just not doing anything with it. So thank you, John. I'll remember that.
Yeah. And so this Facebook group is it's fascinating because I'm part of it. I have been for the last few weeks.
Well, thank you.
Since I met you a few weeks ago at Dan Martell's. Mm. And you are... There's a lot of people that have added me to a lot of Facebook groups, which I don't even ask. You didn't do that. I found it. But
sure.
And then they're never there, right? It's like blah, blah, blah's Facebook group where you can ask him anything and then he never shows up to answer. Mm-hmm. You are literally there all the time. You answer even when they don't ask you directly.
Right.
I don't think there's a thread that exists without you in there, like literally laying out, here's actually how you should do it, or here's where you should go watch this or go read this.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Well, at the end of the day, to me, it's like, these are my people. They've chosen to be a part of something that I've created, which speaks volumes to me. I mean, I don't know why anyone would want to be a part of something I've created, but they say, yeah, this is something I want to be a part of. And I kind of realize, you know, you talked about Pareto's 80-20 principle. I take it a step further and I say the 96-4 principle. So the 20% of the 20%, this is my market. And so this Facebook group, the 12,000 and growing people that are in their Facebook group are my 4%. These are the people that I'm going to spend the most time, energy, and does it lead to transaction of financial benefit? I'm starting to realize it does. And I think that's fantastic. But I mean, if I'm going to make a tiny little dent in the community based on some knowledge that I might have that may be able to serve somebody, like, this is where I'm going to put my attention. So it's, I'm grateful that anyone gives a damn about anything that I have to say. And if you do, then I'm going to try to give as much value to you as I possibly can.
Excellent. And you'll let most people into that group?
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a free group, and I'm, you know, from the perspective, I'm like quick to hire, quick to fire.
Yeah.
So I don't put too many constraints around. I mean, if someone asks to be part of the group and you're part of 14,000 groups, it's probably going to be no, you're not allowed to be a part of this one. That seems fishy. For the most part, we let just about everybody in. But as soon as you break one of our terms or you get a little spammy or you start being, you know, irreverent to other people in the group, there's just, it's a zero. We're not kids. It's not three strikes. It's one strike and you're out. So we protect I do my best to protect the community.
Excellent. I believe it's Facebook Marketing Mastery, right?
Yes, correct.
Is the group. And I will link to it in the show notes for everyone so you can check it out and see if it's for you at all. So I want to just, because I know that people are listening are going to kick me in the ass if I don't at least ask you something about Facebook.
Sure. And
Facebook advertising.
Absolutely.
But let's try and tie it, if we can, back to how you at one point completely went on a fast from information. You had enough information to do what you needed to do.
Right.
To at least for a year get started and really rolling, because some people get stuck, right?
Right.
Where or what is it that you think people need? Because everyone's fascinated with Facebook advertising, but there's an endless stream of new blog posts and podcasts and everything about it to the point where people typically just don't start, or they start with $5 and it doesn't work.
Right.
What is that point where they can get enough information to actually just start?
Yeah. So I think there's two ways to look at that. The one way is the tactical technical. So obviously, if you're going to be running ads on a platform that's technical in nature, which is Facebook, you need to know what buttons to press and where to, you know, push things. And I think there's a lot of free resources out there that can help you with that. In fact, you know, I have some resources that if you're in the Facebook group, and that's another great reminder, John, I'll just post that and get people kind of get started that way.
Very cool.
But then I think there's the higher level stuff. And I think the reason why most people make mistakes on Facebook is because, you know, they read a blog post somewhere, like you said, that said, hey, why don't you try this and just go after it? And how I kind of speak to this is that, to me, it's the proverbial iceberg analogy. There's the 10% that's above the surface that everybody can see. And that, to me, is all the tactics and where to push the buttons and how do I bid and all that other kind of confusing stuff. And then there's a 90% that's below the surface that nobody really talks about, but in my opinion is far more important than tactical stuff. And so, you know, if I were to distill it down really easy for the listener, I mean, the question, the thing I would want to put across here is, do you have something of value that you can offer the community? And when I say the community, I just basically mean the marketplace that you're going after. Do you have something of value that you can offer to them? That's question one. Question number two is, do you have a mechanism that can take someone who's interested and then nurture them through to a sale, right? Commonly known in my space anyways as like a funnel or an offer or a conversion path or a customer journey, whatever you want to call that. And if you answer yes to the first two, then Facebook is something you can consider. And then if that's the case, all you're really wanting to remember at the end of the day is Facebook is an eyeball store. You go to the store, you pay money, you get eyeballs on whatever it is that you want to get eyeballs on. Now, you can waste a lot of money if you're throwing eyeballs on something that just A, doesn't provide value, or B, doesn't have a means to convert an interested person into a prospect and then a prospect into a client or customer. So that's why I put it in that order. But then, yeah, to simplify it, at the end of the day, Facebook is a store that you can go into, give them a little bit of money, trade it for eyeballs. And if you know how to reach the right people, and Facebook allows you to do that, you can get all the right people to view the right product and you offer the right value. And it's really, I don't want to dumb down what I do, but really it's as simple as that. And if you can figure that out, I think Facebook can be your greatest friend and get you the exposure and the influence and the income that you might be looking for yourself or your business.
I love it. I love it. And so basically you need something of value and you need a mechanism or a funnel to sell that and derive profit from it.
Correct.
So obviously as entrepreneurs here, that's our side of it. If you have those things, I think Nicholas just told us that Facebook will work for you and then he will provide you free information to get started. But again, as entrepreneurs, typically it's better to kind of outsource these things to people that are way smarter than us, like Nicholas.
Sure.
But he gave you the two factors that those are the first two you have to cover. So.
But it is an important point, John, because I know a lot of people who feel like Facebook is pixie dust. And they just run to it and throw money at it. And then like, well, it didn't work. Well, yeah, because you did it out of order. So I think it's just an important point to say, once you have point one and point two down, then and only then are you in a place where you can and should start considering spending money on any advertising platform for that matter, in order to make sure that it is an investment and not a donation.
Very well said. Very well said. All right, Nicholas, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up with one final question for you.
All right.
That you kind of actually briefly touched on at the beginning when you talked about this negative energy, this gap in between goals.
Mm.
So it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which I think is this gap, just like you said, between where we want to always be and where we see ourselves as successful, which is, as entrepreneurs, always in the future, right?
Sure.
In 1 month when you hit that metric, in 6 months when you stand on that stage, that's when you'll be successful. Yet we both know right before you jump on that stage, you're going to have five bigger stages in the future that you want to hit.
Right.
And we look super successful on the outside, but from inside, it's always ahead of us.
Right.
Like you alluded to earlier. Mm. So I would love it right now. You've been through a lot. I mean, from being forced into entrepreneurship at a young age.
Yeah.
To creating a really, really cool and successful business that has helped a lot of people. I would love it if you could stop right now, turn and look behind you.
Yeah.
Look at the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses, and tell me how you feel about the whole journey up until today.
It's such a great question. And the only way, and this is not a cop out, but the only way I could answer that is to say, like, it is what it is. And what I mean by that is if I were to look back and see all the lows and then be like, oh man, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. That just creates further, you know, pain and oh man, I shoulda. And if I look back and think of all the successes, at least for me, then I'm putting up a measuring pole of something that I gotta either strive towards again or beat or make better. So when I look back behind me, am I proud of certain things? Yes. Of certain things, absolutely not. But I think it's just coming to peace with the fact that it is what it is. It was whether designed or not, it is part of my story and my journey. And it has, in fact, because I've allowed it to make me who I am today. And hopefully what I'm living in now will help kind of make me to who I'm going towards tomorrow. So yeah, again, am I happy with what I see? Am I sad with what I see? It's almost like it's neutral. It is what it is. It happened for one reason. I can attribute negative or positive to everything that's happened. And I just kind of choose to say neither. It's neutral and it's part of my story. And I'm just using it as kind of bouncing boards to continue pushing and moving forward.
Very well said. Very well said. So we've got to talk about your business in passing. We talked about the Facebook group, which we will link to. But could you now tell people where they can track you down online, please?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, if you have no time on your hands and you want to go to a website, NicholasKuzmich.com. I know that's not the most brandable name out there, so maybe we can put that in the show notes. But if you want some actual, like, little bit of an education, I did this 36-minute training that I'm really, really proud of called the Behind Closed Door Workshop. The reason why I call it that is because the contents were actually only shared in secret behind closed doors in some high-level mastermind groups. And it's kind of a summary of some of my core principles that I've really taught not in the public forums before. So it's called the Behind Closed Doors Workshop. And now we're making it, you know, starting to make it available to people. So if you want to do that, it's nicsblog.com, nicsblog.com/secret. That will allow someone to opt in and to kind of get temporary viewing access to that training and kind of be exposed to some of the fundamentals on. If you're looking to use Facebook as a platform to grow your business, these are the things you kind of need to know to make that work.
Excellent. So nicksblog.com/secret.
Right.
That's Behind Closed Doors Workshop. And nicholaskuzmich.com is the main site. I'll also track down the Facebook group.
Yes.
And you can apply to be part of that through Facebook itself. I'll link to all that in the show notes. So when you're done working out, jogging, running, whatever it is you're doing right now, those will be waiting there for you.
Awesome.
Nicholas, once again, man, thank you so much for joining me. I 100% appreciate you being so open and honest. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man. It's awesome and inspiring.
I appreciate it. Thank you for this chance to kind of talk about some of the things I don't always get the chance to talk about.
That was a lot of fun. I hope you out there listening enjoyed that as much as I did. I hope that you, I mean, when I saw him speak, as I said, his stories, his passion, all that, just it had me sort of really mesmerized. I hope that he had that same effect on you during this conversation, because he's got serious, you know, he's got that way about him that just draws you in. He's a smart, smart dude with a lot of energy, a lot of insight, and it was very cool that he joined us. So we've reached the point in the show where I need to go back. I need to go back and listen to it as you listen to it and see if I can find something, see if I can pull something out that maybe Nicholas said. So I went back. Then I went back again, and then I went back again. That final time through the conversation, there was this one thing that Nicholas said that was so very, very clear to me. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I don't wish entrepreneurship upon anybody. It's provided a fantastic lifestyle for me, and I think it's great, and I've come to love it. For the person who is not cut from that cloth and is not, you know, in a space where that's a reality, I think it's not the easiest lifestyle either.
And that's the hack. Nicholas. This is Hack the Entrepreneur. You just said you don't wish entrepreneurship on anybody. I love it. This is a big thing, right? I mean, entrepreneurship, we discussed this and I've discussed this a lot. I mean, it's becoming more popular as a thing to do. It's being parents, teachers, everybody's more supportive of it, which is amazing and awesome. But what if you're not cut out for it? What if you don't want that pressure? What if you don't need to be the entrepreneur? Nicholas just gave you your out, if that's what you need. He doesn't wish it on anybody. Yes, it's provided a fantastic lifestyle for him, for me, for my family, for like thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. However many, I don't know, millions of people, I guess, probably millions. I have no idea. But the point is that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's for everybody, right? And if you're not cut out for that, that's cool. That's totally fine. But also know that it is there, and it is, and it's not that we all come from the same place. Like before in the conversation, Nicholas said, it's not like I was born an entrepreneur. It's not like I was like cutting lawns and doing all this stuff. His family struggled running a small convenience store. Then he had to sort of take over and figure out how to do this stuff as like an immigrant family. This wasn't laid out to him. He didn't have like the golden or the silver spoon, I guess they call it. And like this all sort of planned out for him. And that doesn't mean that you have to have it in the same way that he does, right? He was actually disadvantaged more than probably lots of us are. Yet he still has decided that this is how he's cut. This is what his thing is. He is an entrepreneur and he always will be. But that doesn't mean that he thinks everybody should do it. And he doesn't even wish it on everyone. It's a weird sort of thing you have to understand, right? It's not that as much as I love it, as much as Nicholas loves it, and as much as it's been good to us, it doesn't have to be for everyone. It can't be for everyone. We can't all be the entrepreneur. Some of us have to be the employee. Some of us have to be the coder. Some of us have to be like, you know what I mean? The designer that works for the company that does big, amazing things. And that's totally cool. Perfectly fine. Great. It really is a thing. You have to kind of look within yourself, that whole self-awareness, self-analysis, and figure out if this is you. If you are cut from this, then Nicholas doesn't wish it on you, but sorry, you're stuck. You're unemployable and you're part of the pack. Otherwise, it's just go. It's totally cool.
It's totally cool. It's not the easiest lifestyle. But honestly, I don't know if anything is, right? I mean, is working a job the easiest lifestyle? Is being the entrepreneur? None of it's easy. It's life. It's hard. But it's what makes it fun, right? Right? All right, Nicholas. Thank you so very much. That was a lot of fun. All right. Enough of me already, right? Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Stop by there. Check out links for this show notes. NicholasKuzmich.com. We'll have the Behind the Closed Door workshop, Nick's blog.com/secret. Plus, I'm going to get a link to his Facebook page on there for you. It's been fun. If you have a chance and you're on an iPhone, you could always stop by hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes and leave me a rating or review. It would help so very, very much. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. You know that I truly appreciate you taking the time. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.